We're joined by the Buffalo News reporter on the Sabres in the NHL, Lance Lysowski. Lance, good morning, man.
Good morning, guys. It is over. I think we can all breathe a sigh of relief on that one.
Is that your first thought this morning? Like, oh, it's happened and it's going to be a crazy busy day for you, but like at least you don't have to be glued to your phone indefinitely waiting for this to come down?
Yeah, I mean, this has been hanging over everybody's head since May at this point, and with one twist and turn after another, and sort of just trying to read the tea leaves and see what's true and what's false. Because as we all know, that offer that was reported that was, you know, from the Calgary Flames yesterday, it wasn't exactly true, but hey, I think it really led us to this trade getting completed.
So we had Elliot Friedman on a little earlier, and he gave us some of the specifics in real time. Buffalo getting back Tuck, Krebs, a 2022 first and a 2023 second for Eichel and a future third. What's your initial take on the return Buffalo got here? Obviously, you're not going to get, you know, full freight for Eichel at this point, but Tuck, Krebs, and a couple of earlier picks. Are you satisfied with that? Is that kind of on the better end of what Buffalo could have done here?
Yeah, I would think so. This is basically the package that Kevin Adams would have wanted from Vegas, you know, months ago. I mean, he wanted Krebs. That was the player that Buffalo has targeted all along. Tuck is someone who, in a lot of off seasons, is trained at the Sabres practice facility, so the Sabres staff knows him very well, you know, just through his work with the Academy of Hockey. You know, Syracuse guy, you know, I think he had 400 people at Buffalo's arena when he played his first game here a few years back. So really good fit, and it fits with their timeline to compete, right? This team is not going to be competing for the playoffs this year. Krebs and Tuck are guys that fit with them long term. You know, Tuck's under contract for, what, 4 more years, so yeah, good fit for them, good fit for Jack. I mean, I think Vegas is the perfect landing spot for Jack. I don't think Calgary would have been the same way for a number of reasons.
What is it like for Buffalo fans who kind of feel like they maybe have lost a little bit of faith in their organization with how this was dealt? Obviously, there's a little bit of a bitter taste in their mouth knowing that they're going to lose a franchise player because they couldn't come to an agreement about something that was best for the player. Do you feel like that's something that's going to linger, or they're just going to be able to say, okay, we're glad for Jack Eichel to get what he needs and let's move on?
I think it's a turning of the page in some ways, but this team still has a 10-year playoff drought and they're going to have to start showing it. I mean, they played, you know, pretty well at times the first several games of the season, but they still, I mean, there's a lot of work to do. They have a lot of roster building. Owen Power still at Michigan, you know, and they've seen the franchise make misstep after misstep over the past decade. So until the results actually show on the ice, I think it's a cautious optimism. But yes, I think that the overall tone around the city, around fans, is relieved that it's over with, encouraged by the return. But I mean, hey, this team just hasn't performed well enough for these fans to believe anything at this point.
So what does that timeline look like? Because like you said, it is a 10-year playoff drought. Krebs is 20. You've got, you know, you're waiting a little bit at least on your number one pick. You've got another top prospect still in the queue. You've got, It seems like the pipeline and kind of the, even though they've been bad for a decade, the return that you expect for being bad for so long is still a little bit away. Can Buffalo do anything to kind of expedite that? Or is it going to be, hey, you know, a couple more years of patience here?
I think they feel they're closer than I guess people on the outside do. I mean, Jack Quinn and JJ Paterka, 2020 draft picks, are playing extremely well down in Rochester. You got Owen Power, Ryan Johnson, two first-rounders, doing extremely well in college. So there's pieces that are coming to join the young core. Rasmus Dahlin starting to play 22 minutes a night and playing well at times. So there's a core there. It's going to take time. I think that their hope is that next year when Power is, you know, projected to be on the team, Ryan Johnson's on the team, Quinn, Paterka, Cousins, Mittelstadt, Krebs now, Tuck. Next year is when they feel like they're going to be able to really make a push, but they're going to have to insulate these young guys still. I mean, I don't think Dylan Cousins is ready to score 20 goals in the league quite yet. So it's sort of a work in progress here.
So Alex Tuck's coming back from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. He's a guy from Syracuse. Do you think that means anything a little bit extra special for him headed to the Sabres? You know, a little bit of a local guy. Is that something that the fans will be excited for, or just something that there is just a fact?
Yeah, I mean, the fans will be excited for that. And plus, he has a lot of familiarity with the staff in Buffalo just through his work at the Academy of Hockey, which is the Sabres, which operates in the Sabres practice facility. Plus, he plays the type of game that Sabres fans love. He's a big power forward who isn't afraid to get to the net, the type of player the Sabres have needed for a while now and should complement their young core nicely.
So as we look at what Buffalo's done here, and if we, if we're kind of looking at this as, hey, maybe it makes sense to look a year, 2 years down the line. I know you said you still got to insulate these young guys and that they're maybe closer than we feel from the outside. And again, good solid start for them at 5-3-1. But do you see this as a domino that could, between now and the trade deadline, see Buffalo, sell a little bit more with 1-3 years down the line in mind?
I think that they could be a very active team. It depends on how the guys on expiring contracts perform, right? I mean, Colin Miller's playing well right now, right shot defenseman. Teams always need right shot defenseman. I think he'll be sought after. Vinny Hinostroza is playing really well, early on this season. I think that when it comes to the expiring contracts, yes, those are guys who could go. But in terms of major pieces, I mean, they really did a lot of their work over the summer with Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Ristolainen gone. So the young core is in place. Now it's just surrounding them with some veterans. And I am curious to see if they do move some of these guys like Hinostroza, Miller, Robert Haig, because you need veterans around your young guys to grow. But the asking price for some of those veterans might be too good for Kevin Adams to pass up, as teams have injuries and need sort of arise for contenders.
So all of this is done with that young core in mind. And
yes,
there's the biggest part of this to me from the Buffalo standpoint is, hey, you're now moving on from the Jack Eichel era into the Owen Power era, and that all of these pieces, Krebs, whatever, the first round pick, these are great assets to have, right? But all of this comes down to maximizing the potential of Owen Power and making sure that this is a first overall pick that does not want out of your organization in a couple of seasons. He did make the decision to go back to Michigan. That was a layered one. It wasn't all just an indictment of Buffalo. But what is your understanding of where this player is at in terms of his relationship with that organization today?
It's really strong. I mean, his family lives up the road. I mean, there's a really good foundation there. His parents will have a very short drive to come see him play. That's pretty special for any kid. And it's not just about Owen Power. It's about Rasmus Dahlin. They need Rasmus Dahlin to live up to his potential being a number one overall pick, because that hasn't come close to happening yet. You're not seeing the production out of Dahlin that you're seeing out of, even guys like Quinn Hughes. And, I can name the list of guys there. So this is all about development. That goes back to their decision to hire Don Granato, whose background at the USA National Team Development Program is specifically tailored to developing young players and his style of play. So I think that all plays into it. Absolutely.